Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh, I love my cereal. Something, an old habit that dies hard. And since you're trying to eat better, and cereal is not necessarily the healthiest, you know, now that you know it's a giant bowl of dessert. Luckily, there's Magic Spoon, which has all the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And for me, it works as a midnight snack. I love it as a fourth meal. It's low carb, low sugar. Well, as a matter of fact, it's 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. 140 calories a serving, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low carb. Build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and maple waffle. There's a lot of great flavors in there. I like the blueberry. I like peanut butter. But the maple waffle is the winner for me. That is a real hitter. Go to magicspoon.com/ham to grab a custom bundle of cereal. Be sure to use our promo code HAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happy guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ham and use the code HAM to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And thank you for giving me a snack to eat every night before bed that makes me feel okay.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, standing 6'2", 286 pounds, from the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island, he's Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me, Jackson Maine. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out, Arthur. Currently not in here, just instinctually keep that part of the speech in. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, we got inside the HeadGum fam, we got returning guests, we got new guests, and it's all wrapped up from XOXO Gossip Kings. It's Carl Tard and Lamar Woods.
What up, what up, what up?
Hello, gentlemen. If you can find someone whose energy is more opposite than that intro than Lamar, I don't know who exists.
Yeah, I was, hey, I was on what's a good, man? Of yeah, what's happening? I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so stoked to have you guys here. And I'm going to take this official moment. I did it off mic, but now for the sake of possible continued success for use. I fucking love Grand Crew. I've watched the first two eps, the ones that aired early. So fucking good. You guys did a great job. Lamar, writer, producer, owner, Carl, yeah, in the fucking ensemble. Just wanted to put that out there. And if listeners of High and Mighty have not checked out Grand Crew yet, it's funnier than this podcast.
check it out.
I'm not saying that's a big achievement for the show, but if you like this show, you're definitely going to like Grand Crew. It's visual as well. It's not just me screaming. You're going to love it.
Yeah. You can see people moving around.
Yeah, yeah. They talk to each other. If you like this shit, it's got lighting. You're going to fucking go ham for it.
We wanted to talk. You guys have a new podcast, well, newish podcast on the HeadGum Network about Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
And now,
XOXO.
I just saw the announcement, XOXO Gossip Kings, like, and they were like, we got a new podcast from Colin Lamar. And I truly thought it was about gossip, like you guys just gossiping. I was like, that's really funny. And then when I read the description, I was like, whoa, that 170 episodes of Gossip Girl?
Yeah.
Fuck that, dude.
Rewatch pod. It's a crazy undertaking. A crazy undertaking. We do a little bit of gossiping at the beginning, though. We got a section called Spot It, where we talk about... Yeah. Our crazy celebrity sightings, or sometimes it's just homies that we saw that nobody knows.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw a friend, like, we'll be like, spot it. Saw John Gabriel while we're doing a podcast.
Spot it on Zoom.
Yeah. It's like, well, it was an appointment. But yeah, it's super fun. I watched Gossip Girl over the pandemic. That's kind of how it started. And then I was like, man, this show's pretty good. But I was literally just watching it because I ain't had shit out to watch. I watched every show possible. Now I'm gonna see what this Gossip Girl's talking about. Got real into it, but then had no one to talk to about it. So then I saw that Carl had the XOXO on his sign off, and I'm like, oh shit, that's the shit from Gossip Girl. And then he's like, oh yeah, I never seen it. I just put that on my head. Like, what? It's so specific.
I didn't watch Gossip Girl in high school. It came out like right after I got out of high school. I think the first season aired like literally like the September after I graduated. After the June in which I graduated. But in high school, we watched California,
OC.
OC. Yeah.
I watched that in college. I'm a little older than you. The OC was the first real crossover from like quote unquote girl shows that I got. Like, you know, now I know what that means more. But I fucking loved the OC when that shit came out, dude.
I was on board
immediately. Like, rich.
Yeah, and the music was cool. It was all different. Yeah. Except they had the bait shop.
And you was one step, like 1 degree removed from it by it being a girl show. But I was 2 steps removed from it by it being a white girl show.
Oh, and it's it's definitely whiter than it is girly.
Yeah.
The show is white as fuck. It's about like rich people dealing with like college kids dealing with choosing the liberal arts college that would advance their careers.
But they took the story of like a underprivileged person and like made him the most beautiful white man in the world. He's like, yo, we gotta help Ryan out, man. He needs our help.
Like, Ryan's from the wrong side of tracks. He's from Tiger Beat Magazine. I love that show, and I started absolutely hating it when the fucking surf punk Johnny shows up. That dude jumps the shark for me. When he shows up, you're like, the stakes of this are crazy. He's a murderer, or they're gonna murder. Like, the show is about high school. Two episodes ago,
in the OC in Orange County. If he wasn't like an SA from Santa Ana, he ain't murdering nobody.
Right. And now moving to California and understanding more what the OC is, the show has like a whole new reflection where we leave out all the fucking dudes with like flat brimmed hats and Hurley socks on. None of those dudes are apparent in the OC show. It's all just the wealthy kids of the elite.
Right. Yeah, I do. It was crazy. Were you watching it in New York, Gabriel? Because I was in it. I was on the East Coast too, and I was like, it is interesting now being like, oh, this is what the OC is. Like, this is like a whole different, like, it's like.
The realest shit for me for that was moving out here and then being like, Beverly Hills Cop took place in this small little town. Like, why is he driving so far in this in this movie? Like, I could not wrap my head around. I thought Beverly Hills was like the size of Orange County, you know. Then you come here and it's like 11 blocks, and you're like, my man Axel was driving for hours in these movies.
He's out the zip code now.
Yeah, he's in 90710. Beverly Hills Gun Club is in the middle of like a desert in two, and you're like, where's that in Beverly Hills?
Do you watch filming locations?
No.
All right. So YouTube as a genre, like YouTube has a million genres. But YouTube has a genre of filming videos of people like going to filming locations and being like, this is where this scene was filmed. And they talk about it, and they did a Beverly Hills Cop one. And the, I mean, it was filmed all over the city.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty much from here. So, like, especially in 2, where he went to like the oil derricks, that's Baldwin Hills.
So, oh, like, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, that, but you should check out filming location videos. They're always really fun. Especially
I do love that shit. I do love people being like, I like the meme you see often of someone holding up a still from a movie. And yeah, it's like right in front of where the back, like it's like outside of the house that they use in the Royal Tenenbaums. And it's like a frame from the movie, but you see the real live location. Yeah. That shit rules.
Yeah.
And for me as a little movie kid, moving out to LA was so fucking awesome. Like I feel like I understood movies more, like rewatching Swingers once I moved out here and everyone's driving separately to shit, validating parking. That's something I never even wrapped my head around, but it was like a punchline to like so many. Do you validate?
Right.
And I was just like, I don't know what that means, but, and then I get out here and it's all just the most basic ass shit. it's paying for
drive
parking.
By every day. Yeah. Drive by that Los Feliz 3 golf course all the time. But when I first saw it, I was like, yo, that's where Swingers was happening. But I will say, when I rewatch movies that I watch, because I've been watching, you know, because I got Disney Plus, not to like promote Disney Plus right now, but they
we'll bleep
hey, take out that part when I promoted Disney Plus. I ain't really fucking with Disney Plus. But they had, but they give you an opportunity to watch some of those movies when you was a kid, like Mighty Ducks and shit. And I was watching The Rocketeer. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Hell yeah.
And there's like this crazy scene where they were fighting the Nazis and stuff. And I remember it so well, but I didn't know idea that was Griffith Park. They was up on the park where I go hike all the time. And I was like, yo, there was Nazis right over here. This
you gotta crazy. Be gotta keep keep that thing on you going to Griffith Park. The Nazis the Nazis be out there.
Keep the motherfucking Thule. There are like conspiracy theories that they have Nazi meetings in Griffith Park.
For real?
Dude, yeah. I'd
be watching YouTube.
We know.
Yeah, Carl stay watching YouTube. Like he'll come over your crib. He'd be like, hey, you want to watch, the new Seinfeld episode or new Seinfeld episode? But
the Seinfeld reboot. It's really sad. Yeah. It's not even that funny. But we could throw it on.
Be like, just put it on YouTube.
you heard of the haunted table in Griffith Park when you hiking through? And there's a tree going through a table. Let me get the exact number of table that it is. I just watched a video about it. On YouTube.
So go back to conspiracy theories about Nazis having meetings. Not to be too scare tactic-y here, but I think that's happening in every city, unfortunately. I believe it could be happening at Griffith Park, but it's definitely happening at some fucking low-key at a bar like every Wednesday under the guise of fucking fantasy football or something. It's just a bunch of Proud Boys or Nazi fucks hanging.
Oh, they was at the Griffin, remember?
They were fucking
right. So they be kicking it. They be out there meeting it.
You shouldn't be allowed to hang out in L.A. with that kind of attitude and vibe. We should not allow that.
Nah, man,
I don't want to get all, 40-year-old macho guy, but those are
folks scared to talk to them. They weren't going. No, ain't nobody in Atwater going up there and pressing them. First of all, they done ran out all the dudes that would press them. They done ran them dudes out of Atwater. So
the dudes that would press them can't afford to be in the neighborhood anymore.
Exactly.
Those fucks.
Right.
But I thought we could talk gossip specifically, which is what I did originally think your podcast was about, which is something I find myself doing more and more, is participating in gossip, something I never really cared about. What my own personal rule is that I don't spill gossip that I hear, but I love to get into gossip. Like I love to hear something. I love to hear the best kind of gossip. I always say is somebody else's work gossip. Cause you have like almost no chance of, not maybe in our business, but like in like when your friend back home is like my boss, you're like, give me all the juice. I'll never run into this guy. I'll never accidentally spill the beans. Like I won't have to work with him ever or whatever. Like I love that juice external from someone else where I never, like it sucks when the gossip's like, yeah, you know, your boy is actually a piece of shit, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's not the kind of gossip I was hoping for, but like it's tight to hear. I used to work with a piece of shit.
Nah, people be talking shit, man. I think that's what we don't use the word gossip. They always say, oh, men don't gossip. It's like, yes, the hell we do.
Oh, yeah. All men time. Gossip like a motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah, but maybe it's like we don't call it gossip. Yeah, we call it talking shit.
We call it talking shit.
Yeah.
Or you're like, man, yeah, I chopped it up with my boys, Carl and Lamar, yesterday. Oh, what'd you guys talk about? Oh, all the personal choices that our closest friends made and how they were incorrect from our point of view.
Yeah.
Well, that's not chopping it up. That sounds like gossip.
Yeah. No, we weren't gossiping.
We weren't gossiping, bro.
We were just getting our. Shooting our shit off, bro. Just getting our shit off.
Oh man.
Nah, man. We be talking shit. But I think for me, just like you say, you don't spill. Like, what'd you say? You don't spill.
Like, I don't spill it outwards. Like, I.
Oh,
like,
okay. Yeah.
You won't tell nobody. Bring gossip someone else told me to our gossip and vice versa.
Like, I think for me, gossiping with somebody is about trust. So if I know that if I hear something that I feel is interesting enough to tell somebody else, it's going to be somebody who I know and trust will, A, not judge the person negatively if I say, hey, don't judge this person for this, but this is something
that they're
going
through.
Would
you believe they did this? Yeah.
Would you believe? Yeah. And then, or B, hey, listen, I heard this, but let's keep our wits about us when it comes to
never repeating this. Yeah.
Not repeating this. And also, like, I could tell Lamar, like, the white women group chat, like, the big team group chat, like, man, we be talking so much shit up in there, but I know that every single one of those dudes, this is never going to go back to somebody.
I would lose 40% of my friends if the Action Boys group chat was like printed out and put out there. You know what I mean? And that's only three of us. not enough heads to really generate gossip, but it's bad.
We know that when we talk, everybody talks. I know, I'm sure there's like, so I remember, you know, I've left jobs or like worked with people who I knew didn't particularly care for me. Like, I can't imagine what they've said about me.
Oh, well, that's sort of the headspace I'm in when I talk shit, is that I'm like, I gotta be okay knowing somewhere someone is talking shit about me. That's like part of the game. If I want to play in the game, like if I want to talk shit about someone, I want to be like, you want to hear what this motherfucker Rogers did? Like, I have to be okay with hearing him to say, you know what this motherfucker Gabrus did? Like, you know what I mean? So as long as you like, it's sort of like, all right, well, if you're getting in the ring, you could get punched in the face. You could stay out of the ring, but like, so if you allow yourself that, and then also it kind of empowers you in a way where you're like Carl's saying, like, you know who to talk shit in front of. I have like, I throw out a lot of shit talking in varied groups. I'm very comfortable with like the people I hate or the things I dislike. I love shitting on it. And then you always get someone who eyeballs you of like, this guy's safe to talk to because he's ready to take himself down here. So I think I can come back. It's funny you said that about so-and-so because, you know, I love when you catch a fellow fucking scam.
You make eye contact, you realize. I feel like I'm like that where I'm like, I'm super vulnerable with strangers. Like I'll meet a stranger and I'll like, I want to open up to him like right away where I'm like, oh man, let me tell you about my family history real quick.
I feel you on that, dude. I feel more comfortable with them than my own family.
My favorite shit is when I'm in a situation where people are talking shit and I can't technically participate in it, not because I don't know any shit about it, but just because it's like above my pay grade. So I'm in a group chat with, I'm not going to say what the group chat is, but I'm sure some people can figure it out, but they won't figure out who's in the group chat with me.
Right.
But it basically, let's just say me and this group of guys share a mutual interest in something, and they're all very successful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'm the way least successful person in this group.
Right.
And when they get to talking that big cash shit, oh my God.
That's some fun spectator shit.
I'd be like, oh my God, they get it in. they be talking about old school people or, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, that's the rush chasing the nostalgia. Like what you're describing is the same feeling being 13 in a car with 17 year olds.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Right. And they're like talking about a hot girl from your school who's older, they're passing you a blunt or you're drinking with, like, that feeling where you're like, I do not belong here, but I'm just gonna keep my mouth
shut.
Don't
talk. Don't
be
say
the funny
shit.
I'm gonna shoot one funny joke out. So they're like, the fat kid is cool. Yeah, let's keep him around. You know, like, but then that shit you get to go back to school. Yeah.
But then you get to go back to school and repeat all that shit and be
fucking
heralded.
Everybody thinks you're cool as fuck. You're like, how did you know this?
I had a cousin who was 10 years older than me who used to basically like raise me almost. So when she was like a teenager, I was like a young kid, but old enough to like understand what her and her teenagers friends were saying. Like, she's like 16 years old. I'm like 7. And I used to be with them because my grandma would just go stick me with her and be like, watch him. And she'd be like,
okay, hanging out with my friends. He could, we'll keep them in the same room. And you're just a little sponge, just soaking up specifics. And like, you know what girls talk about a lot? Like bringing that shit back to your friends, having like older person knowledge and even just a couple years older. That shit was like currency when we were kids. Like, My childhood predates the internet as well. So there's a whole nother layer of like, you didn't hear about a band or an artist unless a friend's older brother or older sister mentioned it to you. Yeah. You didn't even know about bars in the neighborhood or anything if they didn't have a commercial or someone's older sibling was like, yeah, they don't card at that place. You guys can come. Like, that shit is so real. And that was like real. When you were a young kid, that felt like money, having access to that info. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
As someone who didn't have money growing up, that was paramount for me, that I had something to look forward to.
How much would you pay for this tea I got?
You said you would throw in like one joke and then make them go like, yeah, like that's the same shit, man. You couldn't eat up too much time because then they would kind of, they would notice that you.
Or get jealous,
Why are you talking? Like,
hey, who the fuck is this guy?
And all you need is one person from that crew to hate you too. You know what I mean? Like, if everyone's like, nah, Carl's mad cool, and one guy's like, yo, fuck that dude. I'm the funny one in the group, and you're like, I can't last. I got to learn how to work with this dude, or else I'm gone. I need this ride every Friday.
He's too important. That's funny as hell, man.
That's the realest shit. Learning how to be funny around people who are older and tougher than you are.
Oh yeah,
is like how I became like immune to bad shows. Like, I'm indestructible. Like, my life is never threatened anymore, but I used to feel like my life was threatened if I went out on the limb with a bad joke, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, I get fucking, you know, Charlie horsed or choked out or whatever just for kicks because they were older.
Yeah, they just beat the shit out of you.
Because it was the 90s and they were boys.
That's how I got the gangbangers to stay off my ass, you know? Like, just being a goofball around them. But also not taking it too goofy to where they would, because like some kids think that being funny is only roasting other people. But you cannot do that with a group of gang members.
No, you have to learn how to roast yourself.
Yes.
But not so much that they think you're a bitch.
Yes.
Right.
You have to like, you have to cut just above. You can't be like, because I used to joke about how like, and this shit happened to me in like every walk. A recent example of that was I used to shit talk myself about how little pussy I got, even though I've been with the same girl for like 20 years. I always joke about it. And I one time said in front of Charlemagne on Guy Code, I was like, yeah, I've only had sex with 3 women in my entire life. He's like, is that because you're fat? I was like, okay, actually, no. If you unpack it a little bit, it's because I've been with the same woman since I was 20. You kind of limits the amount of girls I can fuck in my life. Yeah. And I was like so mad. And I was like, I talk too much shit about myself around him. He like he bought
that
it.
He can play.
Oh, he like he bought a ticket to this.
He like joined the fucking the party. I'm like, no. I'm hating on myself. No one else is invited to join this. That's always like you're the most. I'm the most self-deprecating guy in the world. I'm like, and everyone's like, ain't that right, you big titty fuck? And I'm like, yeah, fucking kill you, man.
Why when you're doing it, I don't like it when you do it.
It's not the same, man.
But also that's like you talking about Charlemagne, I just learned, is really short.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing too, because you're self-deprecating, and also he's like, and also like this dude, like I have to maintain dominance or else this dude will kick my ass.
Oh, dude, my whole life has been short dudes in like elementary school and junior high, like bending back your finger and stuff to like, to like be like, yeah, we can fight. And it's like, that's not fighting, dude. Yeah. You just wanted to win. And now you're like, look, I made the big guy go, ow, let go. You know?
Right.
What the fuck? I remember that switch went off me.
I've always been the lovable big guy. And I was a crier when I was a kid, like really young. And even though I was bigger than everybody in the class and stuff like that, and I would cry. And I remember when I played football for the first season and how that switch had to go off and how they were like, take all that shit that you went through and put it into knocking that other kid's head off.
Like, I was still soft even in high school football. I was still a softie. I still thought, yeah, even like I got, and I was a big kid. Obviously, I was playing offensive line and defensive line, but I was just so soft. I didn't get like mentally or physically tough until college, until I started, like someone was like, you should play rugby.
Yeah.
And then I started playing that and I was happened to be in better shape and I got cocky and that, but up until then, so I was soft my whole life and using fucking jokes to defend myself. And like, it's funny now how that skill set is just still the same.
Yeah.
Like you just got, I mean, I'm a white, obviously I'm a white dude, but I think there is like an element of code switching in there where you're just like, mm-hmm. with these guys, I can't, with this group, I can't be too self debt. With this group, I can't be too gossipy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, I gotta stand up straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was like, it's funny on football. Cause I was just super small on the team. I was like the smallest kid on the team. But I feel like I was always really close with the big guys who were soft because they would be like, they would come, I'd be on the sideline. They would come to me and be like, man, I'm not doing too well out there. It's like, man, just talk to me, man. I'm here. I'll listen to you. I'll see you fucking.
That's the realest shit. Well, it's like, that's who you hang out with when you're on the fucking C team, you know?
Yeah,
you're
right,
like,
right,
I'm over here with the kid whose dad is making him play football who has no desire. Like, it's just me and the three weirdest kids in high school. Who are yeah. Like, my mom needs me to play football so I'm not home after school.
I had this nickname when I played football, and I couldn't tell. Maybe you guys can help me because y'all both play football. But I couldn't tell if it was a diss or if they were complimenting me. But so my last name is Woods, but they would call me Woody on the football field. So they'd be like, there's Woody. And I would like hit people really hard. He'd be like, he'll put that wood on you. But I couldn't tell if it was like, are they making fun of me?
It sounds like they weren't. If you was really hitting. Like
if you're putting
really
wood on people, yeah, then I think.
Because I would hit people. The whole comedy game of my football character was that I would hit people with all of my body and then basically be like, broken inside, like be hurt so bad.
I would pop them
so hard that everyone would be like, holy shit, he just fucking knocked that guy on his ass. But then I would walk back to the sideline like I can't breathe out of my chest. Like I'm just like lipping back. But so I thought that's what they were saying, Woody. But I was like, but then I kept, then I started thinking about it. I was like,
Wood does break.
Yeah. Wood does float in water.
That my dad worked weekends and nights and holidays because he worked in TV, so he was never around. Mm-hmm. And he came to one football game my senior year, like one day that I was off, and I was playing and he was off, and he came, and it was a home game, and I was playing D tackle, and I stepped in to like tackle the tailback or whatever coming off like in the guard tackle gap, and I got. Fucking creamed so hard. The coach, who's never said, I'm barely ever playing, you know what I mean? I'm on special teams and I'm like on some other goal line shit. And then it's just like, it's called the weight room, Gabrus. My dad, like, that's the only thing my dad heard about me in my 4 years of playing football. And I was
he leaves at halftime. I got some TV stuff.
Yeah, he's like, your brother needs help with his Legos. I had his attention so briefly.
I wonder what that feels like. Because I feel like, if your dad is real good at sport, like, my dad's pretty good at sports, so he's good at basketball. And I always feel like, what does that feel when you see your son? Just like,
not being
like,
good.
Man,
yeah.
He's not killing it right now.
Yeah. When I moved back to Mississippi my sophomore year, I played one season where my dad could come to games. And my dad played in the NFL. So it playing football in front of him. Also not being in the same position. Like when my dad was in high school, he was a brick shit house. And this is before I lost my sophomore year is before I lost my weight. So I was on the O-line. Yeah. And I was just transitioning into tight end, but I was still I wasn't a pass catching tight end. I was a blocking tight end that year. Man, once I lost my weight and I became a brick shit house. But seeing my dad in the stands just not have anything to be proud of after, and then like not being like I just wanted him so badly to tell his friends about me. Like, yeah, my boy's playing too. Cause my dad was like a legend in my hometown.
So yeah, playing, of course.
If you're playing for the same city, I don't have a sleek number. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. That's my son, number 74.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, the bootleg ass shit. Like, couldn't even get 99. I know that feeling. I was 78 in high school.
The whole time? When did you go 53?
I went 53. 53 was my practice jersey number, and they went in the NFL. the O-line have numbers in the 50s. In my high school, they were like, it's just 60s and 70s. And I was like, you got to let me rock 53. They're like, that's for linebackers. I'm like,
yeah,
that sucks, dude. That fucking sucks. Linebackers. But then I just started, like, in rugby, the jerseys are numbered based on position for real, like 1 through 15. Like that, each one of them corresponds to a position. So you don't get to like really pick a number, but then all my practice jerseys and like my team hoodies and jackets all had 53 on it. Because I was just like, fuck it, I got to lean. I can't be, because also the way rugby positions work, depending on your size, is kind of where you get placed. Yeah. And I was just getting fatter every year and going from like the more, like I was number 6, then number 7, then 8, then 5. And now when I play as number 1 or number 3, which is the fattest position on the field. Yeah.
I wore 73 in freshman and sophomore year.
Hell
and
yeah. And
finally my junior year when I lost like a ton of baby weight, I got to switch to 88. And that's what I wore. Junior,
ooh, that's
year.
A great fucking number too, dude. That's Irvin. That's fucking Ingram. Like that shit rolls.
Yeah. Randy Moss in college.
Oh shit, yeah.
Tony Gonzalez. That's who I had on my MySpace page. I had Tony Gonzalez on my MySpace.
Oh yeah, the vegan tight end to end all fucking. And he was a two sport. He played football.
Yeah,
and
he played
basketball.
Football and basketball. That's why he was like, he was like my guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was fun. I remember being a kid and being like watching Tony Gonzalez highlights, and he's like pulling down catches like any other tight end would have to do. And I'd be like, "That's because he played basketball. That's like grabbing rebounds, acting like I knew anything." I'm like 16 years
old.
Yeah, he could jump mad high because he plays basketball. It's like, yeah, most tight ends in the NFL have pretty high standard high jumps. Yeah. Like, okay. Dude's a freak though. He's a fucking vegan. Like that's or plant
crazy,
based,
right?
As we say now.
Plant based. Oh, we can't say vegan no more?
No, I don't know.
Is that vegan X?
I'm about to say we can't say
vegan X. Vegan X.
Vegan X. Vegan X.
My dear High and Mighty listeners, I'm currently on the road recording some ads for this episode of High and Mighty. And one thing I brought with me that I now bring on the road, like an advertiser on the podcast that comes on the road with me, is now Athletic Greens, because it's a way to guarantee I get my, optimize my immune system and take a supplement that is very easy to take first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. As a matter of fact, that's what you're supposed to do. So you just get one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens and you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, all buzzwords that we know and love. Start your day right. So I shake it in a bottle of water when I'm on the road, or mix it in a cup of water when I'm at home. And it's a good way for me to get the vitamins in the morning without swallowing pills, which makes me a little nauseous in the morning. And, if you take it with 12 ounces of water, you get your first bout of liquids down. So, because you've been sleeping for 8 hours without consuming any water. So you want to get up and get rehydrated and get all those vitamins in there. So I'm on the road doing my party show and thankfully have Athletic Greens to help me try to bounce back every morning. So it's a small micro habit that has big benefits and it costs less than $3 a day. And you're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance. It's climate neutral certified. It's recommended by professional athletes, over 7,000 five-star reviews. Just try it. I can't tell you enough how much I like Athletic Greens. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. Good call. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mighty. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/mighty to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Did you guys know that HelloFresh has fit and wholesome recipes for satisfying and nutritious meals that you can feel good about, with 6 recipes per week to choose from, including low-calorie and carb-conscious options? I just found that out in the last month, so I'm stoked to try those out. And also, we're getting into, it's still a little cold where you are. You could warm yourself up inside and out with limited time recipes inspired by cozy classics from around the world, like beef tenderloin and cheese fondue, or miso sesame shrimp and bacon ramen. Oh man, I haven't gotten that one yet. I want that. Look, I like to cook. Makes you feel healthy. It keeps you connected with the food. I have no portion control whatsoever, and I am constantly throwing away leftovers. Not leftovers, but like, oh, we didn't need as much blank as I thought. So HelloFresh eliminates all that for me, so that's great. It saves time. And the coolest thing it does for me, and I know this isn't going to be the same for everyone else, but it helps me decide what we're doing for dinner. It's just built in at this point. Oh, perfect. Oh, we're having Wednesday's meal. Oh, we're making miso sesame shrimp and bacon ramen. It works. So go to HelloFresh.com/high16 and use code high16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/high16. Use code high16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. America's number one meal kit.
Oh, so let's go back to gossip. Mm-hmm. Is there better gossip than your like family gossip? Like, there's nothing stronger than hearing like an older female relative, not even necessarily older, mm-hmm. but like a generation above you, or a female relative just fucking going off about like, can you believe what Uncle Mitch did? And you're like, no, tell me every. And then you get to see that dude later on, and you're like, this motherfucker's got to get his life together.
It's funny. Like what you were saying earlier, where it's like, oh, you know, I'm not really around for this type of guy. Like, I don't really know the characters or whatever, but it's like, I got one up on my uncle just because I got this like juice on him.
Well, it's like jumping in to watch one season of a show you didn't watch, and your friend's like, he's the guy who killed someone in the first season. And you're just like, oh, I know this one thing, and it ups my level of enjoyment. Like, when you go to hang out with like a different friend group, like your boy is like, oh yeah, we're going to go out with some of the guys from work. And you're like, okay. And you're like, one of them, it gives you like one thing about him. And you're like, thank you. I'm going to be looking for it. You know, something to look for, something to pick apart on someone. Like, I love
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah. My boy Gabrus is going to come out. Watch how frequently he brings up like how he used to be an athlete and a lifeguard and shit like that. It's like that set me up to unbeknownst to myself, roast myself. That's a fucking dream. What the?
I'd be getting nervous.
Have you ever done
shit?
Gossip? So this is a new gossip I figured out, where it's like, if let's say you got, it's like forward moving gossip where you're like, I got a problem, my problem with this person, but I'm too afraid to tell it to the person. So I'll gossip it to a person, knowing that that person will gossip it to them, so that they end up hearing about it anyway. So it's kind of like you basically transferring gossip through somebody else to avoid conflict.
You're sort of like leaking information, like you're like a publicist who's like, let this get out there that this motherfucker Carl's been driving me crazy, okay? Talking to Ronnie. Ronnie, you know, Carl's been just like, and hope that watch you get back to him. Like, okay.
Right. That just real shake everybody up. Yeah, like, man, I'm in my head right now. Yeah, like, or I feel like it works real good with roommates. Like, roommate gossip is like you'll be like, oh man, I feel like so and so never washes the fucking dishes or whatever, and then you know they're gonna be having a conversation about your ass, about your roommate shit, and then he was like, yeah, and he said you don't wash the dishes,
yeah, right,
and then he's like, man, fuck that, but then later they're thinking like, man, I don't wash the dishes. should probably do that shit.
Wait, you just unlock something in me, Lamar. I'm one of three boys in my family, and we do that roommate conversation you're talking about amongst us. Like, me and my youngest brother will be talking about the middle brother being like, yo, he blah 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 blah, and I'd be like, oh, okay. And the next time I talk to my middle brother, I'll be like, I know this thing that, you know, like, let's get into it, I can bring it up now. And then, or if I like, you know, the littlest brother has been doing blank, I'm like, really? I guess I gotta like bring this up with him,
right?
And like,
right.
And then or every once in a while comes the other direction where your brother's like, yeah, and comes to you with some shit, and you're like, that's what I told the other brother. Yeah, okay, you motherfuckers, like, you ever, out there.
Yeah, you hear that shit back, you're like, that shit's like so funny when you hear the person say your shit. It's like, it's like, wait, I said that shit.
I know that shit. I know where this story's going, because I'm the one who told you.
Man, men be gossiping.
Men be gossiping. I love to sit on the porch with my, when I go home, I'd be sitting on the porch with my grandma. Every car that drive by in a small town, she knows who it is. And my grandma's the nosiest woman on the planet. So she just sits on her porch or sits in her window all day long and runs her mouth to everybody.
That's some real grandma shit.
I love sitting on the porch with her when I get home, and she's like, you know, them folks over there, because they was like the last big gossip was across the street. And my grandpa passed away back in like 2011, 2010. But his best friend Quack lived across the street, and him and Quack mm-hmm. were just two drunk asses who just sit all day and drink.
Quack. And Quack. No way. The old dude who lives in Mississippi named Quack is a drinker?
Yeah.
No way.
He's like, no, I'm fully sober.
Yeah. I'm a doctor. That's where the nickname comes from. Yeah.
My favorite thing, when I was a really little kid, they would greet each other. Like, if they hadn't joined each other's porches yet, they were just sitting on their own porch, you know, giving each other some time. They would go, hey, boy. And the other one go, hey, boy. And then, like, next thing you know, Quack is stumbling across the street. And then my grandpa's going to get the gin. And, like, it's over at that point. But he doesn't live. Quack moved to Atlanta with his daughter, you know, because after my grandpa died, like, he didn't have no more friends. And he was just drinking himself to death. So he moved to Atlanta with his daughter, which everybody does when you come from a small town in the South. You move to the big city with your daughter who moved to the big city. So.
He's like, so you going to the big city?
Like, take me out of here with you? Like, in the reverse, you know, you're like, you're moving out? Okay, please take me with you. I'll help you sell this shit.
Yeah. But so some meth heads had moved in there, which is not hard to find in the South now with the opioid addictions and stuff like that. So, and my grandma just, and they were white, and so my grandma would just be like, them white folks moved across the street, and they was, you know, selling and smoking that meth out of old Quack house. And then she said to one lady, one time my grandma had, they were fighting over there, they were like having a real physical fight, like a bunch of people, and my grandma like walked out on the porch with her hands on her hips like this, and then heard the lady go, get in this house, because our neighbors are nosy as hell. And she was like, I know she's talking about me. I don't give a goddamn.
She's just standing there.
Yeah, just standing there. I know she's talking about me.
I'm trying to see what y'all doing.
Yeah.
From Quack House to Crack House.
Yeah, exactly.
The documentary about that residence.
Yeah, just the juxtaposition. Quack is doing amazing in Atlanta. He's like, I'm killing it with my daughter out here.
Yeah.
So glad I left it.
Stop drinking. He works for Coca-Cola.
Both of my grandmas were big gossips. They're both deceased now, but one grandma, there was a neighborhood watch program on Long Island called 40,000 Pairs of Eyes, because I guess like 40,000 people lived in this town or this county, and they called my grandma 40,000 Pairs of Eyes because she was just always like had one blind down. She'd be like, looks like Rhonda's having a party. You know, like it was just like, no, everybody's business. And then my other grandma, my dad's mom, who was like my loosey-goosey, uneducated, like farmer grandma, the last farm on Long Island, she was wild, and her gossip was so mean, so fucked up, and definitely never true. You know what I mean? She would always, someone would be like, hey, DD, and she'd be like, well, him and I used to have sex, and now he hates me. And I'm like, what? Like, she would tell us, me and my brothers, I was like 14. She's telling me this story. She's like, I used to fuck him. He had gold cards, American Express. And I'm like, this dude is like riding by on a bike. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It just always, I used to fuck that guy.
She would tell us.
Do you have any other gossip?
She would say shit like the neighbors would be like, she'd be like, well, you know, they're Puerto Rican, so they're in there doing, and you're like, whoa, that's not true about any, like, that's not even a stereotype that I've heard before. Like, you're making up.
You know, they have
up,
giraffes in that house.
She's taking wild racial swings that I'm like, I don't think any of this shit should be said, Grandma, but that's not even true. Like, that's not even, like, circling reality what you're talking about.
That's hilarious.
And gossip used to be like a little bit more of a commodity because there wasn't the internet. Now gossip is on
like ruined gossip. Yeah. The internet is just like because, it's like it's
you could search yourself on Reddit and then be like, oh, fuck, I'm going to fucking blow my head off later today. I should not have read all this shit. This shit fucking destroys you.
What was I gonna say? Oh, I follow all these accounts on Instagram, like Hollywood Unlocked and The Shade Room and stuff like that. And it gets so annoying because they start gossiping about people, but it's like they don't have no real juice. And they just go, what do y'all think about this? What? Mm-hmm. Hey, roomies. That's The Shade Room. Roommates. The Shade Room calls them roommates. Hey, roommates, what do y'all think about this? And it's like, why is this news? Like, why is this on a... But then again, you have to understand, those are not news publications. Like,
Yeah, they like get to lie. they're like allowed to say whatever they want.
Especially the social media ones too, because I follow a lot of the shit like that too. And it'll be like the Shade Room will put something up that's like, so and so is maybe doing something. How do you feel about that, people? And then another site would pick that up, like, sort, and then you see it on like 11 of the sort of similar sites, and you're like, no, I know this all comes from the rumor has it blank. Like, now it's being spewed like truth. And then you're talking to somebody someday and they're like, yeah, did you hear that shit about Kanye? Yeah. And you're like, I know that, and now you're going to, I'm not going to stand here and defend whatever, you know? So you're just like, yeah, I guess that's real. Like, that happens a lot with movies. I'll be talking to a friend. They'll be like, oh yeah, and so-and-so got canceled from that, huh? And you're like, what? And then you like look it up and it's like, there's maybe one news story about something and it's like, and you're like, you just heard that one fact and now it's just
now
I say Jason. West Side Story and you say this, like it's like
it's like that thing where somebody's like, when you say a thing and then someone has to have information about that thing, you know, those people who you're like oh yeah, I just came back, I just saw Licorice Pizza, and they're like, oh, I went to high school with the girl from Heim and like she used to like throw up or whatever.
And then you watch that person run into anyone else bringing up Licorice Pizza and they're like, I actually, and you're like, okay, like you got this anecdote on lock ready to fucking spew the second you get the setup for it. That's
right.
I catch that with my, it's easy with your partner to catch that shit. Like I catch that shit with my wife where I'm like, the last three times someone brought up blank, you went immediately to this story. It's new to all of them, but I'm getting tired of it. You know, that I've heard it funny. Five times now.
Is there like an agreement between y'all that's like, cause I feel like, like being single, I never have to worry about that. Cause I'm doing that shit all the time where I'm like, oh yeah, here's my fucking Madame Tussauds wax story. Whenever anyone brings up Madame Tussauds wax museum, I'm like, let me tell you about when Nicole Kidman's wax figure fell. But
I do actually want to hear that now at some point.
But if I had like a partner, I feel like, because I would feel like you would both do it and like both be clocking it when each other do it, right?
Oh, we both do it a lot. And then you kind of have to just say like, hey, remember that, like, I don't want to hear this story. And now we're sort of also so good at it in public. Like if we're at a friend group, like Tiffany starts telling a story and I know this one, I'm like, well, this is when I'll fill up drinks. I'll be like, anyone need more wine or whatever? Yes. I'll just like, I'll go take a piss. I'll get some work done. I'll check my email. Come back when you wrap this up because I know it so well. Yeah,
but she
checks me a lot too. Also, the other partner version of that is you get so good at couples anecdotes that you have like by the fourth time you're telling it, it's like punched up and tightened a little bit where it's like, I'm like, and then my wife Tiffany steps in and is like, that's when you guys rehearse this shit? It's like, not exactly, but this is the fifth party we've been to this month, so we're bringing it out everywhere. Like, oh yeah, Tiffany and I saw that movie. Tiffany, remember when we saw Fast 9 in the theater? What happened? You know, it's like, tell that story.
Yo, here we go. They're gonna fucking love it. It just kills every time. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
You know what is fun though? Where, like, gossip where, like, don't feel like you gossiping, like rap gossip. Like, okay, so I sent the group today this TikTok I saw earlier of this guy listing off rap lyrics. Did you watch that video, Lamar?
Yeah, the one where it's the three dudes on the block with Manny Fresh talking about it?
No, not that. That was
Don't talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. you can talk about that. That shit was nuts. But the one that I saw, the other one before that where it was talking about that song, like, Corbin got shot or something like that where they talk about that.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a song that's like very violent and they a dude like was kind of like exposing it on
TikTok. Was
on the news or on TikTok, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like they're like the rappers are basically telling on themselves. And it's like, y'all see this shit? Like, but that ain't really gossip though. That's just like, you know, that's
it's like sort of in the zeitgeist.
It's like street news.
It's like the weather in a weird way, right? Like it's a small talk thing. Like, yeah, you see that shit with fucking so and so. Like insert whatever major celebrity shared gossip we can all have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That I feel like in like rap beef too. I feel like you always. And I feel like I listen to a lot of genres of music now, but I feel like no matter what, I always got to know what rap beefs are going on.
Like, oh, hell
like, it's
yeah.
like you have to just know that these rappers don't fuck with each other, just like always.
It's always good to know shit like that, because it's like, I'm glad to hear that there are millionaires out there who are like, fuck you, to each other. Like, that's so funny. Like, that's what you're doing with your time, is being mad at someone who does the same exact job as you.
Right.
Just slightly different. Yeah.
I hate seeing him win.
Yeah. It's He's like, from Houston. I'm from Atlanta, so I hate him. It's like, okay. Worth it.
Oh, man. Well, now it's like, speaking of this just ties back to the other theory I had about the gossip through other people. But I feel like the new thing now is like, people will go on podcasts like Kanye will go on to Drink Champs and then talk shit about someone like another rapper, right? Or like Big Sean or whatever. And then the podcast will bring Big Sean on there and have him talk, but they're basically having a conversation with each other. Like, tell that they're like basically trying to forgive each other through the podcast without actually having to interact and have a real conversation with each other.
And to never like have to look soft, like where you're like dapping up the guy that you've been beefing with for like years, and you're like, can just be like, nah, it's not like that with me and him. And then it kind of just corrects itself in a way.
Yeah, I really always had love for him. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I had love for him the whole time. Yeah.
I ain't got no problem with that, man. You know, people just be kind of talking. You know, going through what he going through right now. I ain't got no issue with that, man.
Shit. You are ready for the fucking Breakfast Club.
I'm going on Breakfast Club saying, if that motherfucker pull up in here right now, I'm blasting his fucking ass. Consider this my confession.
Man, I pulled up on him. I ain't see him. Where he was at? I don't know. He said he gonna blast me. I was like, well, he wasn't scheduled today.
I actually recorded that 2 days ago to come out today. I know that's a little confusing.
Yeah, that'd be funny if we try to do that on comedy podcasts, where we had like do beef with each other, but like we never could line up when they release.
And then doing it through Comedy Bang Bang, and it's always a character. It's like, I would like to rebut what OJ said about me, Gino Lombardo. You're in like the weeds of like, it's me and Carl shit talking each other via characters, via someone else's podcast.
I feel like sometimes Scott be talking shit under his breath.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I feel like so frequently on podcasts like that, where people are just creating comedy whole cloth, like, I feel like so frequently I'm like addressing some, you know, I'll be like, Gino will be like, and this fucking asshole comes in and does blank, and I'm just saying something that like a friend did to me or Tiffany did, you know. I'm like, I'm just gonna get this out there. I gotta air this shit off my chest. I gotta turn it into Gino's problem.
I've done that. You know what's funny about the fans too? When I used to look at the Reddit, like, sometimes they this has been years. I'm a long time clean and sober from that bullshit.
But, smart. That's a fucking strong will to get over, man.
Oh, man. That doesn't mean any fucking thing. But like, only time I've ever looked at it again is when I know somebody said something on a pod or somebody, and I wanted to see what the reaction was to it, because I literally wanted to see the genuine, even if it's not like a character thing, like the way we just talking now. But
you're curious about the backlash, if there was any backlash.
If there was any backlash or whatever. Yeah. But, and that's usually not on a pod that I'm on or whatever, but, or it could be. But I noticed that the fans will, like, they never want to see us as our real selves when we're doing the character type shit until we say something that may potentially be, like, something that we're going through, that they are speculating that we're going, because they don't know us. Or they only know what we tell them.
Dude, the speculate, that's what got me off of that shit. More so than the negative comments about me, which I can handle because I agree with half of them. But the ones that really bothered me was like, and I think Gabrus is talking to Jess McKenna like that because he's going through some real drama. Yeah. And I'm like, you are in your fucking head. It's like, the way Mary Holland reacted to Gabrus, I could tell she was actually offended. It's like,
yes,
that's
when they do that
friend.
Shit.
Yeah.
When they don't understand that we're friends. They don't know, but they don't really quite get it, I feel like, sometimes. Because that speculation shit trips me out every single time.
It bugs me out, because I'm like, is that what people are jumping to? Like, I got to be worried about what you're layering. Not even just what I'm saying. Now I got to be worried about how you're understanding that. Because your narcissism is like being projected onto what you're listening to. Like, idea, like,
with little bits of information that have nothing to do with each other. Right. They created a whole reality. That's insane. That's like an insane behavior.
Yeah. But then when we'll be like I'll say something normal, like on my Instagram or something, I'll be like, oh, okay, Chief. Okay, Gumshoe. they'll like mention my character with something normal that I do.
Dude, nothing.
And but then when I'm doing a character thing, they'll be like, man, Carl was really doing something today. Oh, Carl really had these stuff. And it's like, okay, so when are you, like...
How, yeah, when am I the chief and when am I fucking Carl Tart? Exactly. You tell me, asshole. Dude, that is the fucking... The people comment, like, a picture of me and my wife, it'll be like, you know, 10-year anniversary and me and Tiffany are at the beach or whatever, and someone will be like, what train stops did you take to get there? And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Bro, right. First of all... If you only know me through that's like only knowing like Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman and just screaming hoo-ah at him every time you see it. It's like the dude has done other stuff. I'm not saying I'm Al Pacino, but like I've done stuff other than Gino Lombardo. Like, so for like, just if I do something Gino adjacent, like feel free to make a Gino, but the amount of, I think it's Comedy Bang Bang fans because they only see you as the way you are in on that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I have 400 episodes of a podcast where I'm myself talking to friends. Like,
yeah.
Right.
you can tell who, I'm not that different from Gino, but you can tell this is me. Like,
yeah.
And people still have a frame of reference to compare.
I have a frame of reference to understand that that's not me when I'm playing. It's so, Carl, the two things you just said, like getting in your head and being wrong, be like, oh, yeah. The reason Carl is saying, because you see, I know that they're waiting to hear back about the Grand Crew pilot pickup, you know, and it's like they got information that they're pulling from like 11 different news, you know, and they're like,
right.
And I think it's jealousy because Scott Aukerman was originally supposed to be in Grand Crew, and you're like, where are you getting all this shit from? Like,
that's
you're just
true,
spiraling.
By the way, Scott was supposed to be in Grand Crew.
Scott was supposed to be my character, and I took it.
He was supposed to play Nicole's sister. Echo beat him out for the role. Nicole's brother.
He's like, I like this wine. I don't know. I'm asking my Scott impression. This is a really good wine.
That would be really funny. This is our crew, bunch of young, hip, black dudes. This 50-year-old white guy we're all friends with.
This is Scott Aukerman.
He's playing himself.
Yeah. But it's the same teaser where it's like the black man has been seen as many different things. Scott Aukerman as one of the black men in it.
As wild, as emotional, as Scott Aukerman.
Huh? Yeah. Like, huh? Like, we're not all Scott Aukerman.
That shit is funny.
That's great. We should put him on the show.
Commenting fucking character bits on real life shit. You know what I mean? Like, people who are watching Grand Crew being like, I hope we see the chief. It's like, that's not how life works. It's like, that's not how entertainment works. That's not how shit works.
Well, I hate to break it to them, but I think it's hard for them to. I mean, they didn't know us before they started listening to us in this medium. So they think that this medium is
our thing.
Right. Like, oh, well, yeah, he got that TV show because he does Comedy Bang Bang. It's like, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Comedy Bang Bang
might get me fired from this TV show.
that's some real-ass shit. You're going to know I'm making it in this business when High and Mighty is just deleted off the internet. I'm just 500 episodes, delete. You know I got paid on something.
I remember there was one thread that I did read a while back when I deleted Twitter, which I had been hinting at for a long time, but I deleted Twitter and there was a whole Reddit thread about me deleting Twitter that was just speculation on why I did. And it was like, well, he was a big Kobe fan, and then all the rape accusers came out and got and I said, I never was a Kobe fan.
Not only is that crazy for you to jump, I'm the furthest from a Kobe fan.
Yeah, I was never a Kobe fan. I'm a Clipper fan because I did not like Kobe.
Yeah, so you're pretty widely known as a Clipper fan.
Yeah,
and I don't even follow basketball, and I know that.
And he was like, and then other people were like, "It's really sad that Carl can't handle the trolls. I hope he comes back one day." I was like, "What are you talking about? I can't handle it. Why would anybody want to handle that shit? I don't need to be on Twitter." So you can like I think it's the access thing. I also saw a post recently. You know, Paul F. Tompkins got his comments turned off.
Yeah,
and somebody commented on I think somebody else's post, like Scott's or Kulops or somebody was like, "Can you tell Paul to turn his comments back on?" I'm like, "Why? You're the reason why his comments are off. You exactly, person. You're the reason his comments are off."
Dude, it's
the access point. It's the access. So when they're speculating why I left Twitter, and I'm appreciative that they liked my Twitter, that this person liked my Twitter so much that he wanted to know why I left.
Well, that's
he
what I was going to say. It's like, you really miss Carl's Twitter? Like,
I wasn't even a tweeter like that.
No, that is part of what I'm saying. Like, also, it's like, even if you were a great tweeter, that's like... If you can't live with like losing someone that you who you if you these guys, so that guy probably has 4,500 follow if he probably follows 4,500 accounts and he's like, yeah, man, right. Carl Tart left Twitter, what, like, shit sucks now. It's like,
yeah,
then you're looking at Twitter for the wrong reasons. Yeah. If you need Carl Tart to make your Twitter work for you.
I tweeted maybe once every 2 weeks, and it was usually about the Clippers, and then I got so many sports fans can be the worst. And when you mix comedy fans and sports fans together, which we have done with flagrant ones, you get like people were like coming after me. Like,
that's two toxic
really,
fandoms. Yeah, not two fandoms yeah, yeah. that are capable of toxicity.
Toxicity, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so, not everybody. It's some really cool people out there. Thank you for listening. But
please continue to support the flagrant ones.
Yeah, please continue to give me your money. I need the money. I need more gold chains. But I. but people were. People
well,
were
you
really
could literally start calling yourself Mr. T as well.
Yeah, Mr.
Like,
T.
That's
yeah,
your
yeah.
actual name. Oh, man. That's I'm fucking jealous.
That's fucking tight. Yes.
Mr. T.
Mr. T. Every joke, I get a new gold chain.
I get a new gold chain every joke. Fool. I pity the fool that don't listen to the flagrant ones. Like they were coming after me, especially when the Clippers were like losing, because we don't hold back from talking about their teams, but also it's a bit like we're still comedians, like we're still having a good time with this shit, but people really get in their head. So people were like literally like tweeting at me, being like, "Fuck the Clippers, man! I'm happy that they're losing because of you, you fucking piece of shit." I'm like, "You pay me a lot of money every month to like." I don't need this shit in my life.
Yeah.
And we were stuck. I deleted Twitter over the pandemic. I was deactivating it every 30 days, but then I would always go back. And then one day 30, I had read some inspirational book or watched something that was like, you don't need this shit. Like everybody, all my famous, you have my number, Gabrus. Paulette Tompkins has my number. Lauren Lapkus has my number. I don't need to talk to y'all on Twitter.
No, I can't even give up Twitter, and I don't talk to anybody on Twitter.
Yeah.
I constantly go to reply to something and then go, why the fuck am I writing this? And then I delete it. But then I'm still on Twitter. I'm like, oh, here's someone I barely follow that I met once in person. I'm going to reply my favorite thing from the menu at the restaurant they're at. I feel insane.
Yeah.
Get me the fuck. I'm sorry, Aaron Whitehead. I didn't mean to ruin you know, like some random person. I'm like, I'm friends with Aaron, but I don't want to be like, I'm like, why am I telling you this? Like, I can text you this, or I should
Aaron's
just keep this
Red
shit.
Lobster.
Yeah, the shit is, the main shit is, like, before you write anything online, you should just go, why the fuck am I writing this? Like, no matter what it is. Like,
I think that should go for everybody. People really don't think about it. I've talked about this on podcasts where I say I try to figure out the psyche of the reply guy. And I remember one time I talked about it, and I did look at the comments. That was one of the times where I'm like, I want to see what these people have to say about this. And one guy was just like, poor Carl, there is no psyche. I was like, no, there is. Because there's a psyche into the reason why you responded to this with not a real answer. So like, why'd you do that?
You're like, this is kind of what I'm talking about. And now I'm analyzing why you did this.
I did tweet once. I'd like to think that every reply guy, after he replies to a tweet that was not directed at him, takes one sip of piss from a cup. And I got all types of reactions to that. Of course, they started to troll at that point. Takes piss, takes a sip of piss, King. Takes a sip of piss. Like, and then some people were like, wow, why don't you just disrespect all of your fans right now as if you don't care? It's like, not disrespecting all of my fans, because all of my fans don't reply to me on Twitter all day. And dude. Also, you're blocked.
I get that shit so hard. Like, I understand that so well on the internet. It's like, you're so mean to your fans. I'm like, no, I'm not.
No,
I'm
not.
Mean to the ones who talk to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, if you're going to come talk to me, I don't want to hear it, you're going to find out I don't want to hear that. That doesn't make me mean.
And
you're a stranger. Don't forget.
Yeah.
The guys
we've never met.
Now, this is a little, I have a little bit more empathy for this, but it's interesting. The guys who will talk to me all day online or talk at me because I don't really respond, and then or be disrespectful to me and then say, I was at the live show last night, but I was too afraid to come up to you and talk to you. Or the guys who I've met, and I'm cool, you know, like, we've been on the road together, like, all of us in here, like, if somebody comes up to me after a show, we were just in St. Louis, and people come up to me after the show and say, hey, man, I love you on this, I love you on that, blah, blah, blah. Of course, let's kick it.
I'm
we
never
in this bar.
A dick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm we're never a dick.
Yeah, let's Carl will it. Talk. He'll talk to him. Like, they'll come up to him, and he'll, like, have a full, like, 30, 40-minute conversation with, so, like, just, like, completely, like, super nice.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I could do that.
Because that's it's not a big deal. We in a bar. I'm here. I'm kicking it. Trying to see what the action is like in St. Louis. What's the talent around here?
Yeah, where are my St. Lunatics at?
Yeah, yeah. But then I'm like, well, yo, man, like, let's get a drink. We're here. If they say, oh, can I buy you a drink? Sure, you can buy me a drink. I'm not going to turn down your drink as long as I watch watch them make it. I don't
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but you're not walking it over to me. You
no, you're not walking
it
over. Yeah. No, we go to the bar together. But yeah. But you could totally, like, so I don't, that's the thing. Like, we're not mean to anybody in person or anything unless they come up to us and say something nuts.
No.
Like, one person has done that, and I, like, ignored him, and he was like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I was just so nervous to be, and I'm going, well, hey, man, maybe don't let your nerves make your first, the first thing you say something disrespectful. Like, because I don't know you. You know me. I don't know you.
Yeah.
If you had just came up to me and said, I like when I hear you talk online or when I hear you talk on podcasts, hey, man, thank you so much. I really do mean that from the bottom of my heart.
But they come up trying to be funny, and it's like comes out as disrespectful.
Man.
You're like, what if I just hit you?
What? Because I could. Yeah. Right. And it would hurt. I promise you.
Because, yeah, like, in a previous life of mine, if someone talked to me like this, I would hit them.
Yeah.
But I think
I'll test
because
to see
I
how sturdy
fucking,
your chin is.
Yeah, I make four figures doing podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to take this now?
Yeah. You ain't getting no piece of this.
Yeah.
No fucking way. Dude.
That's like a different, that's like a totally different, like, outlook. I wish I could. I always have wanted to understand, like, and I invite people to get in this comment section and tell me, what is it about online discourse that is so, because I didn't grow up with internet culture, like,
right.
I was outside, not disrespectful to anybody who but I was outside. I was with my friends. I played sports all year round. I was in all types of music classes and bands and things like that. I was never at home until, and then when I did get home and would get online, it was still with my friends because
yeah,
we were
still
on
video games,
AIM video game, MySpace, Facebook type, like, so it was still like, I'm still talking to people that I know, and there might be the occasional, like, you know, you see a girl in the crowd of the basketball game and you go at her on MySpace and you don't know her, but that's different. Still in your vicinity.
Been
you know
there.
I mean? Yeah.
On MySpace.
Or when you were a teacher. when you were a high school teacher.
Just adding her on MySpace. You can do that with students. It's legal.
But yeah, nah, I've never understood. My cousin Asan was trying to tell me a little bit about it because he was on like a message board that was like hardcore music. And he was like, oh no, I actually like met a lot of those people because hardcore music is a real niche thing. And so that the
that's like the positive power of the internet in my mind.
Yeah.
Is the niche fandoms finding each other and being like, we all love Gundam Wing or we all love hardcore music. Unfortunately, there's also the niche of like, we all hate Jews or we all hate immigrants.
Yeah,
you know,
really well
those people
internet,
find each other on the internet as well. And that like that. But the people we didn't have like a chance to be like, go to the Giants website and get to shit talk the New York Giants or like after watching Seinfeld going online and being like, I'd fuck Elaine and like tagging Julia. You know what I mean? Like that shit we couldn't do.
Yeah.
But now you can do that. And if I didn't if I had like the internet when I was a kid, I'd be a piece of shit. I would be hard not to be a piece of shit. The amount of stupid shit I did like to people's faces because you were just a kid being a piece of shit. Like,
yeah,
the amount of stuff I did IRL, like you know, break car right. windows or like rip antennas off like all the cars on one block. Like if I got the internet when I was that age, you know what I mean? I was fucking
it's crazy.
I was lighting yeah. shit on fire and stuff when I was 14. If I like I had the internet, I'd be ready. You know, I'd get my I'd be canceled now. There'd be a video of me shitting on it or something or.
Yeah, a video of you shitting on something. What are you shitting on? It gets you canceled. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
It's the Constitution.
Never supposed to shit on that.
Yeah. I be watching.
That
there's
is so
this one
funny
kid.
To get canceled for that.
There's this one kid I'll see pop up on TikTok when I'll be scrolling through, and he just gets on that Omegle site and just like trolls people. He also trolls people, like, you know, he trolls girls, but they'll all be like excited to talk to him. They think it's so funny. This a lot of this younger generation thinks that trolling is like that's how like Tekashi 6ix9ine became so big.
Yeah, people they like that respect like, it almost.
They respect
yeah.
it because they're like, this is an untouchable person. This person is untouchable. Mm-hmm. This person, like, and they think that they are that because they put up a fake picture of their profile and they only got, you know, so many followers. I'll read comment sections on videos sometimes and I just go, wow, man, these are like real people typing this shit.
Dude.
It's so nuts to mm-hmm. me. It's so nuts. Not on my shit. I'm talking about like just random videos. And then you got like these guys who troll people and who do this shit on purpose and they're heroes. And they when another person is like, hey man, I'm about to come and kill you, they're like, ah, you sensitive. You got. It's just yeah. a joke. It's just a joke, bro. Man, why are you so sensitive?
It's a little brother move. It's truly
yeah.
like
yeah,
a little brother move where they fuck with you, and you know, like, the power dynamics and how your mom's going to flip out if you hit him because he's...
Yeah.
But eventually right, you're right. like, all right, you cross the line. And it's like, oh, look who's all worked up like
yeah.
a bitch.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it is.
What
so,
do you
yeah,
want
it's,
from me?
It's yeah. like a power move. It's like, yeah. I'm going to get this, basically this person who has way high status to me to basically flip out on me. Yeah, that's probably what's going on.
Now, because that is not something from art. I mean, I guess... My generation's version of that was like being an asshole in class and thinking
yeah.
that was funny, like,
or like
disrupting
maybe?
Class. Yeah.
Like
but that was getting a live reaction from people too. Yeah. So there was like mm-hmm. that, like,
but also it's like, there's older people doing this shit too. Like, cause I was at the bar in Texas and this guy, the owner was like, I was at just getting to know him and he was kind of like, yeah, you know, I do the bar thing. And then when I have free time, I like troll people. But he said it so casually. Like, it's like he was just proud. Like, that's just something
yeah.
he does. So I'm like, what? So
yeah.
You like
yeah,
doing
cousins
that?
From back home and shit are being like, yeah, man, I was online yesterday and so-and-so was going live and I was on his live trolling the shit out of him. It's like, that's not tight.
Yeah.
Who, like, how are you cool? You not getting no bitches doing that.
Yeah, and also you're giving the person another view anyway. Like, you're giving
yeah,
them engagement. You're giving
yeah.
them what they want. All,
yeah.
Like, it's so... The dynamics of the internet confuse me to no end. I never feel older than when we're talking about this shit. Because
yeah,
I just
yeah.
never have the impulse to be like, hey, fuck you. Even
yeah.
the people I adamantly, diametrically disagree with, I still
yeah.
don't go like... Well, fuck this guy. Like, yeah. I still don't think mm-hmm. writing to them helps me.
I never need to talk to that person. Like, I can see a Ben Shapiro tweet and just go, oh, that guy sucks. And
yeah.
then just keep going. Like,
mute his ass.
Yeah.
Block his ass.
I don't follow him. Like,
no.
Yeah.
This gets me started on something else. The people who follow all the shit that makes them angry, it's like,
oh, yeah.
that's like
yeah,
a
man.
Weird... We're and the people who are like racing to be the first one to quote dunk on Ted Cruz or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
right.
like if we ignore all these people, I do think it would be better than dunking on them. Like, and if you're living like for the example I always use, like these QAnon people who are super anti pedophile.
Yeah.
Like if you're super anti something of and all it takes over your mind, eventually I want to ask you, like, yeah, no, I don't like pedophiles either, but like
yeah.
it's not on my mind all the
yeah.
time. Like that
Why
can't
is
be good.
The first thing?
That can't yeah. be good right. for you that's on your mind. Like Ben Shapiro's ideas can't be good for you if you diametrically disagree with them for them to be on your mind all the time.
Yeah.
Like
right,
even if you
right.
even like it's not good to sit in that negative energy and be like, I hate this motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I wonder if that's what's actually happening or like say like. Like if you're a super diehard Ben Shapiro fan, like does it just get boring to listen to like his stuff? Because you're like, yeah, just like I was saying, like just like I was feeling. But because me and Carl, we was up in we was at this restaurant in the South in Atlanta. So they play Fox News, you know, more often, like casually, like in the restaurant. So yeah. Fox News is on the thing. And I'm like, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch this shit just to see what they talking about. Cause I'm sick of like my shit. And then it actually was like more fun to watch that.
Yeah, we were talking hella shit up in there.
Yeah, because it's just fun to be like, man, what the fuck y'all talking about? That's not even what's happening right now.
Because I also was just like, I asked the lady to change the channel, and not because it was Fox News, not because I was like, I do not want to watch this.
There's
channel.
No way I can eat pizza while the Fox News is playing.
Yeah, I was more just like, hey, can you turn to anything else? Like, there are bowl games on today. Yeah, right. Why are we watching them talk
watch
about
a music video on mute rather than a fucking news?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to watch any news right now because all CNN is doing is scaring people into thinking that COVID is about to knock on your door and eat you whole. And then the Fox News people are being like, was January 6th an act of patriotism? It's like, I don't want to see either of these.
Yeah. We're recording this on January 4th. 363 days after January 6th. And there's still news stories like, tracking down the last of the 180 people on video committing crimes. It's like, what the fuck,
I know, I
just
saw that, Gabe, I just saw it right front. Yeah, it was just like, so we're still looking into it.
We're almost got everyone from this video. Yeah, it's like, you're the government.
But going to that point, I was watching was a segment, and they did, this guy, this professor, he basically did a research on the people who did that, who actually went up, because they were trying to see like, who are these people? Are they just like random crazy people who are like just on conspiracy internet shit or whatever? But he found that most of them are like normal, like CEOs and like regular
business owners, real estate agents. Like, it's like
they
that upper middle class
to, like,
weirdo. Yeah. People who own restaurants in Dallas and shit, like cops and ex-military and firefighters and shit. Like,
shit,
the
crazy.
Most. The most normal jobs, like the jobs that you would like write into a scene or give someone in an improv scene to just be like, I'm a normal person. Right. I'm a real estate. Like, instead, it's like, I'm just a small business owner here in Houston who took a private jet to Washington, D.C. and beat a cop to death with a traffic cone. Because I'm just a normal person, normal small business
just
owner.
A normal stay.
And I don't want the government controlling my life. So my option was to...
Yeah, right. So my best bet was...
Yeah, and then they said that the people who did it, I found this really interesting. Most of them watch CNN. Like, they watch CNN more than Fox News because they watch the shit that makes them angry. Mm. And then they were like, they also don't come from the rural places like we think. They come from cities like art, like L.A., New York, Atlanta, because they live in cities where that it's basically, it actually is all about racism, if you really want to get deep about it, because it's they live in, they're basically, like, I don't know if anyone thought that, but that's what I'm here to tell you, the racism was behind that. But they basically... are in cities where white people are disappearing is like the idea. So that's where they're coming from. That's why they feel the urgency to like have to run in the capital. Where someone like in the boonies, you know, surrounded by white country people probably like, well, it seems everything's being
I'm a racist, but I only run into black people at the market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
hate that day.
Yeah. And but there are racist people living in like Charlotte and Charleston and like who are like a lot of college educated white like people are moving here and everyone's kind of a little cooler and more progressive with people moving here. And then it's like, no, this is my Charlotte for my wealthy white friends. It's like, oh, fuck y'all. Like with that shit. Get lost.
This is my Charlotte.
And it's still all internet banking. Like, it's all internet banking. Y'all ain't even out here being real racist. Man, I'm from a place where there are some streets you cannot go down after the sun goes down. Because those are some real-ass races. Y'all ain't doing shit. Like, y'all, Twitter fingers. Twitter fingers.
Dude.
Get in these streets with the racism.
Yeah,
say that to a black neighbor. I fucking dare you. Like, of course, you don't have one? No shit you don't have one. Because if you had a black neighbor, you wouldn't be fucking racist. You'd eventually be like, wow, dude lives just like I do.
Well, Wesley's
he lives
pretty
next
cool.
door to each other.
Like, Wesley, he brings his garbage out way more on time than I do.
And he brought my can out today. Hey, thank you, Wesley. Ooh, maybe I can say Wesley's my slave. Let me go say that to him. So I lost an eye.
Okay, still not that close with Wesley.
Yeah.
He just took his eye out. He's like,
happy to report. Wesley and I still not homies.
Oh, shit.
Carl, it's crazy. We're talking all this shit about online gossip and the fan. And I mean, this is nothing new, but it's fucking, that's what politics is at its peak, right? It's Clippers fans versus Lakers fans. It's Republicans versus Democrats. Mm-hmm. It's like at the peak, it's the same style of fighting that's happening in the Earwolf forums that is happening at like the political level.
And the internet is the culprit, because the same, like when I go on, I got my Twitter burner, you know, I couldn't completely disown it, but I don't tweet from it just so nobody finds it.
I just follow sex worker accounts.
I just follow all, yeah,
I mean, we all got one of those.
Super free porn. I follow all the Clippers pages and all the sex workers pages.
Follow plus size models.
Yeah, and I don't give them any money.
Just looking at the trailers, the previews.
But I get my fill from the preview.
That shit is all the same. It's just like, and the problem is, I think we keep saying like, why be like this? I do think these people. Like the guy who's like, I trolled all day. That's like punching in and punching out on a job. Like he's like, I made Carl Tart's life harder today, which is what my goal was.
He thought about me one time because I took 30 seconds to go, this fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I want the milkshake. Let me get some ground up Oreo pieces in there.
I'm living rent free in Carl Tart's head now, bro, because I shit talked a stranger who's online. And like, that shit is so, like, and the politics shit, it's like I reacted to all of the conservative POVs of today's news story with information and facts and vitriol and jokes, and I did my part today. There's like so many people who are waging this war on the internet that like is not moving the needle in any direction. It's just
like nothing. So it's been like 2 years since or however long since Trump got elected, and like nothing's changed.
Right,
6 years. It's been 6 years. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Oh, yeah,
2016. It's been 2 years since Biden's been in charge, and nothing has changed. Also, like it's like, what the fuck, man?
Like that, this shit don't mean nothing. Oh man, I should have never voted for Biden. Hey, don't put that in there.
Wait, Trump was the president from 2016 to 2020, right? Am I tripping?
Yeah, what year is it now?
Yeah, 2022.
Yeah.
Damn,
and then Biden took over in January 21.
It's been 6 years since that shit, bro.
Yeah,
bro.
That shit's crazy.
Bro, it's 2 years till it happens again.
Yeah. He's gonna be back in there. He's gonna be back in there.
And Biden's gonna be like, look, Jack, I thought I'd have done by now that I could stand by, but I got nothing for you. I sent you guys tests in 2022. Did you get the COVID?
Yeah. Did you guys get the test yet? Like, bro, I have COVID.
Yeah, I'm dying, bro.
I don't want no test. I want a stimmy.
Trump was like, I'm not giving tests out, I'm giving money to everyone.
Yeah. I saw this comment the other day where somebody posted like, man, Biden's talking about sending tests, but Trump had us out here with 1600. It's like, you happy that because you got $1,600 over 2 years?
Right. That's like $10 a month.
Yeah.
But that's $0 a month that Biden gave you. So like, that's the shit that wins random votes. Cause for a lot of heads who don't give a fuck about politics, they're just like, $1,600 makes a huge difference in my life. So whoever's going to, cause I remember when Obama did like the car buyback thing. I barely know shit about politics. I didn't even vote until Obama, but I remember he did some car buyback thing that turned like all these sort of Long Island wealthy conservative closeted, not that closeted, but closeted racist people. Like, it turned them all to be like, well, you know, like, I was able to get a new car with the $3,000 tax. Everyone was like, the tax rebate on the car thing really worked. And it's like, you motherfuckers. Like, and it's all it took was like $2,500 in tax credit for you to be like, it's actually got some, the brother's got some good ideas. It's
yeah,
like,
bro, the brother. Yeah.
That's how you know they rate when they're like, the brother.
Barry O. Brother Barry O.
Yeah, I'm really liking Barry. He's really hooked.
Brother Barry. Brother Barry. He's got a bow tie on.
Yeah.
Just like a white guy with a bow tie.
Brother Barry.
Oh man. Shit,
shit guys. Well, this has been fun. Not as fun as soon as I stop recording and we do real gossip. But yeah. Until then, this has been super fun. Do you want to tell the shitheads, my listeners, a little bit about Gossip Kings and where they can get it at and whatever else you guys got going? I know you guys got mad shit going on, but talk to them a little bit.
First of all, we got mad shit going on, shitheads, not just playing.
So much shit.
but you should check out XOXO Gossip Kings is right here on HeadGum.
Yeah, whatever network. You're listening to this podcast on, take your phone out, open that app, and start.
Yeah, yeah, same with the same Kings. Family.
Shout out to Jake and Amir.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And it's like, you know, I know it's a lot of episodes, but don't be afraid to get in and dive in. Because like Carl, I had no idea. I thought like when Carl was like, yo, let's do this podcast, watch Gossip Girl. I was like, ain't no way Carl going to want to watch this show. But, yo, this cat is like, I'm like watching him get into it. He's like, actually, like, you guys watching it. So I'm like,
and he's got the worst attention span known to man. Yeah. So if Carl starts like, paying attention to the show, you know it's quality.
It's taking me it's taking me away from Prison Stories on YouTube. You know,
bummer.
Yeah. So come watch it with me. Come.
I can't wait till a vacation so I can just catch up on Prison Stories on YouTube.
Carl's like, 16 to life.
Algorithm is just like Prison Stories and like Gossip Girl now. Yeah. It's just like things again.
We're I'm a complex individual, man.
Yeah.
But we drop. Every Friday.
Yeah, every Friday.
Every Friday. HeadGum. Find it wherever you get your podcast. It's straight up what it is, a rewatch podcast with me and Lamar. We talk about it from an honest perspective. I like really watching the show, really getting into it, really trying to figure out what's popping with it. And also watch Grand Crew on Tuesday nights at 8:30, 7:30 Central on NBC, the national
all white writers
call.
Room. You're gonna love
all
it.
All white writers room. Yeah.
It's so white.
Me doing all your favorite comedy Bang Bang characters.
Dude, yeah, tune
so we
in.
Talking Chief, OJ, MC Sugar Butt, Larry Blackman of Cameo. I come in every episode doing one of those just for you. Nah, man, we really do love y'all though. Thank you.
No, I mean we exist solely due to like the fan relationship works.
Yeah.
Right? Patreon support, listening to us on all the pods that we go across and shit. And we appreciate all that. But some stuff we don't appreciate. Yeah. So just keep that in mind as you
We really
forward.
Do be trying to give y'all the best content, man. We don't be having time for this. This whole episode, I'm trying to answer. I literally have to jump off and do a promo for the show right now. Not that I'm complaining about it, but it's due at 4.
I'm out here hustling.
I'm out here hustling, man. And then, like, you know, we really doing this for y'all. We want y'all to enjoy the content. We love when y'all love it. We love when y'all love it.
Love to love you, baby.
don't say Paul George is a piece of shit, and I'm his piece of shit friend. Yeah. I don't know.
Don't do that. Stop doing that, Lamar.
Yeah, I know. I got to stop doing that. Lamar was real quiet during that Twitter conversation.
the number one troll, Carl Tart. You're like, I got 5 burners all fucking making fun of Carl.
Yeah. I just like kept driving Carl crazy.
It's like, just me, me and his burner.
Like that shit. Yeah.
How did you find my burner account? You trolling my burner.
Check out Grand Crew. I can't promote it enough. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh yeah, super funny. Oh yeah, yeah. If you want to follow us too, it's XOXO Gossip Kings _ podcast.
Hell yeah.
I was responsible for coming up with
it works. The old underscore goes. I guess just tagging the word pod at the end was taken. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcasts, but check out Grand Crew. I'm looking forward to watching episodes I haven't seen yet. I'm super hyped on that. And thank you guys for coming on fucking High and Mighty. I appreciate this. Go get that promo. Go don't look at Reddit. Go don't look at Twitter. Lamar, leak some gossip out to one of your roommates and see if it gets back to you. Put a little trap gossip in there. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a roommate.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!